Hello and welcome to International Report. Yesterday, we had part one of our special report from the town of Sutherland Springs in the U.S. state of Texas, the site of the deadliest church attack in the history of the state. In a special two-part series, Colin Flynn traveled to Sutherland Springs to meet Pastor Frank Pomeroy and to find out how the community has been rebuilding itself after the awful tragedy.
In the aftermath, when the community are devastated and they're trying to make sense of it and look for answers, how did that go down when you're talking to them and saying, look, this is God's will. We might not understand it, but we have to trust it. He chose to take these people, even the children and the pregnant lady. Did that give them a sense of comfort, or were some of them angry by that?
It was amazing. I think God's spirit was working here. It wasn't that he didn't guard us. He just allowed those to go home that knew him well.
It's a beautiful warm summer's evening in Sutherland Springs, and I'm at Pastor Frank and his wife Sherry's home, around a 30-minute drive from the church.
We've got pictures of Annabelle growing up.
Covering the walls inside, there are pictures of their family and Belle growing up, and Sherry shows me some of them.
This is our trip to Ireland.
Ah, some beautiful memories across this wall. As the sun sets, I sit in the backyard and chat to Sherry, as two of their grandkids play in the grass next to us. Of course, she has been finding it difficult to come to terms with the loss of her daughter. And how do you process it, Sherry? How do you make sense of the unfairness of it all, the tragedy of it all, and the horror of it all?
I don't think there is any sense to insanity. We still haven't made sense of it. We've made peace with it. There are days still when I just feel like I can't breathe. But there are days when I can go hours without crying, and that's a small accomplishment. I'm not to the point of one day at a time. I'm still one breath at a time. One breath may be okay, and the next one may be failing me.
The tragedy in Sutherland Springs sparked a national debate in the U.S. on the country's gun laws, and some people pointed to the irony that Pastor Frank had missed church that fateful Sunday as he was at a gunpowder course in Oklahoma, a course which would have certified him to train young people in the use of gunpowder firearms.
The way I grew up, when you, and most people in the country here, especially South Texas, when you're young, you're taught how to use firearms so that the mystery is taken away from it. You know, I was a young man, 12, 13 years old, when I got my first shotgun.
My God, a 12-year-old with a shotgun. Why would a 12-year-old need a shotgun?
There's cultural differences. You know, we are a hunting country, and that 12-year-old wasn't just sent out in the woods by himself. He had his father or his uncles or somebody with him to help train safety-wise.
Are you worried, Frank, that something like this might ever happen again here?
Absolutely. In the book of Jeremiah, it says to pray unto the Lord and then set a guard at the gate against your enemies.
And you yourself, Frank, when you're up at the pulpit, are you armed as well? Do you have a concealed weapon on you?
I do. One of the survivors, Gunny, he said, you know, Pastor, if they get through the back doors, you're the first thing they see up there center. And that's exactly the way I want it to be.
And how does that sit with your theology and your faith? I know people listening to this would feel uneasy about being at their Sunday service or their mass and knowing that the pastor or the priest was armed up on the altar.
Well, I don't see anything actually in the scriptures that ever says not to be armed. If you look, they mostly were armed. Now, we are to be godly, we are to pray, we are to focus on the way the Lord would tell us to use the weapons and firearms that God has given us.
It's such a hot topic now here in the United States, isn't it, Frank? Has it made you change your opinion?
No, and the reason being, if you take away all the guns, per se, you're going to only take them away from the good guys. The bad guys are always going to get their firearms. There's no way at this point to get rid of them.
It's such a complex issue, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, that guy who obviously was disturbed, how do you stop someone like him getting his hands on firearms?
We need to get away from this polarization of take them all or leave them all. That's not the proper way to come to an intelligent conversation. We should have intelligent debate over what can actually be done to stymie some of this tragedies.
This word that I was seeing, it
It's a Hawaiian recipe, actually.
Wow.
But since we had tuna, that's just excellent on tuna.
It's my last evening in Sutherland Springs, and it just so happens to be on the night of the week when the whole community gathers together to have a barbecue and to pray.
Father God, we just come before you tonight to thank you for this food.
There's a warm feeling in the air, and I get to experience some of that famous Southern hospitality.
I'm doing salad. You want some? It's a combination. I put something in. Somebody else put the lettuce and the bell, and I put the tomatoes. So it's
test, check, check. One, two, one, two.
Next door to the communal dining area is the community's temporary church. And inside, Chris Workman is testing the sound ahead of this weekend service. He's 34, and again, from a video taken inside the church just 1 week before the shooting, he can be seen standing tall on stage, playing the guitar and singing "God Will Take Care of You."
God will take care of you through every day or all the way.
Today, he's on the stage getting ready to sing again, except this time, he's in a wheelchair, paralyzed from the waist down. Finally, Frank, Sutherland Springs, before this tragedy, was unheard of, the little townland. Now, if anyone Googles it, and probably forevermore, it will always come up first. The shooting, the terror, the horror. What would you like the legacy of what happened in your church and all those 26 people who perished? What do you want the legacy to be?
That their blood was not spilt in vain. Just as the martyrs of old, God honors the blood of the martyrs. And I would say what I want us to remember is that blood that was spilt was not in vain, but that God's going to use it to bring revival. We all came together, Methodists, Baptists, all of us came together because it was the cause of Christ. And I pray that that's the memory that will be remembered.
Do you still think about beautiful Annabella every day?
Yes. I mean, just today, riding my motorcycle in. That was one of the things she liked to do. Crossed my mind a couple of times when I looked out and saw the cattle and the flowers, because that's when she would always pull my back, you know, in point. So there was a couple of times coming in just this morning. I think about her. But I also know that she's with the one who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills.
Care for you, God will take care.